bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
It's another wonderful week on the Bet the Board NFL podcast. Week 10, Thursday Night Football. Have an in-depth breakdown of Rex Ryan's return to MetLife Stadium. Of course, all the marquee games on Sunday slate, and a very animated Dave Mason will join us in just a few minutes talking about how the books performed last weekend and what they're looking towards this weekend. Want to welcome in, like always, Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. Payne, what's going on, my friend?
It's week 10. We've officially crossed the halfway point of the regular season. Hopefully, we can continue pushing forward in the positive direction like we did in the first half of the season on this very podcast.
And for a guy like you, is crossing that midpoint of the season a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I mean, you were whining, you know, about week six about how tired you were. I want to make sure you've caught that second win to close the season with a flourish.
Yeah, we've caught the second wind. Started eating a little better, started working out a little bit more. It's tough this time of year. Some of that goes down the tubes. In the summer, it's easy to do with not as much action going on in the marketplace, but it's really, really tough this time of year. But you just got to force yourself to do it. You start feeling a little better.
Yeah, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I don't think people really understand exactly what the lifestyle you go through on a day-to-day is like to try and make sure that you're on top of not only the NFL, but college football, the NBA, which you have an established track record in, college basketball about to crank up. I mean, there really is no rest for the weary. We're talking about October, November, and December as some of the busiest months of the year for gamblers.
All the guys that have 9-to-5s absolutely think this is the greatest job in the world. You quickly find out there's about 4 days off the entire year. Saturdays and Sundays are not spent at the beach. They're spent in front of multiple monitors for, you know, 18 hours a day. So this is not the lavish life that everybody thinks it is just because you're kind of working for yourself. But you definitely have to crank out some alone time, get away for a few hours a day, kind of pick a day a week just to remove yourself completely from this racket.
It's definitely one of those things, having worked the corporate lifestyle, that vacation time is there. You can disappear and take full advantage of it. But when you decide to take a day off in this industry, there's nobody there backfilling that workload that continues to build up. And now, normally we'd cover what happened on Monday night, but the Chargers-Bears, I really don't want to have to live through again. So, I'm throwing that out entirely. And we're going to talk to a guy who's always on vacation. He lives on a beach. I don't know what the hell he does most days. Let's bring in Dave Mason. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dave Mason, BetOnline. This podcast powered by BetOnline, one of the best shops that you can find on the internet. Dave, what's going on, my friend?
What's up? I'm here at the beach right now. Just put my suntan lotion on. I got a new soup can, so hopefully my connection is a little bit better this week. I apologize for that last week. But, yeah, I'm ready. We're ready for week 10 already.
I mean, Twitter was ruthless going after you. They wanted us to send you a Skype phone or, you know, God knows what they wanted to try and make sure you had a stronger connection down there. They must really value the information that you share every week.
Yeah, man. I guess so. I guess that's why you guys had me on. I don't know. But like I said, got the new soup can. The old woman's rusty, so we're ready to rock.
When we talk about this, Dave, and we bring you on each and every Thursday for folks that are new to the podcast, and if you haven't already signed up, you can do so at SoundCloud, iTunes, or visit us at toddstake.com. Books out here in Vegas called last weekend one of their best of the season, whether it was NFL or college. You get sides like the Falcons coming through late, winning that thing outright. Of course, the Colts, Denver, you mentioned on Thursday was going to be a big decision for the house. How did it work out for you guys down there at the shop?
Yeah, we were pretty much just like Vegas, too. It was a good weekend for the house. College was good, real good, actually, and then NFL came through as well. So it was one of the better weekends of the year for the house, especially college, because, you know, the bettors have been winning pretty good in college about the last month. So we came back strong last week, and then, you know, Sunday – the Panthers, the Colts, the 49ers, they got it done. The biggest winners for the players, The Giants and then the Eagles, you know, they took the Eagles game, which is always good to take down the primetime game. But, no, it was a good weekend for the house.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you talk about the standalone time slots and how things work. And you mentioned last week that the Thursday night game between the Browns and Bengals was going to be a bit of a delicate situation. Of course, the players got the best of you there, but always good, at least for us on this podcast, to hear the house gets back into the black. Now, when we look towards kind of week 10, how do we see the card shaping up so far? Of course, as we sit 72 hours out, we know a lot can change before Sunday's kickoffs.
Sure. Well, tonight the action is not too lopsided. The Jets seem to be the public play. About 60% of the action is on the Jets at what is now -2.5. Sunday, Panthers and Pats, those are the big ones. Those are the big sweats right now. Everything else is kind of not even, but, you know, in its 60-40 range. But those are the two biggest games that it looks right now, which isn't a surprise. You know, the road show, we got the Panthers at -5.5. About 79% of actions on the Panthers over the Titans, and then the Pats, that's going to be the big one. About 82% of the action right now is on the Patriots, about -7.5 over the Giants. And, you know, the Giants, as we all know, have a really good success rate against the Patriots, but bettors don't care. They're on the Patriots. It's hard to blame them, you know, with the way Pats are just smoking people.
One other late game, Dave, I was curious to get your take. Kansas City, Denver, you guys seeing pretty balanced action there?
Yeah, actually it is. It's a little bit more on Denver, about 58% on Denver, to tell you the truth. I thought that would be higher, but it isn't. Maybe people are reacting off of last weekend. I thought that would be a lot bigger than that, but it is early. You know, we still got, like you said, 72 hours worth of action to come in. But right now, it's not as big as I thought.
Dave, I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Hopefully you can help the listeners out. Any sharp action that you're seeing this week?
Payne, we have a little bit more than we usually do on a Thursday, which is interesting. Bills +3. Sharps.
That's a good one.
Now +2.5. Jaguars +6.5. We saw some sharp action on that. That's at 5.5 right now. Kansas City +7 and +6. We just talked about that game. That's down to +5.5. That's probably why the action probably isn't as lopsided as one would think. I was looking at dollar amounts, but bet count will probably be a lot higher in Denver because, you know, the sharps obviously are going to bet a little bit more. So that's probably why that the money is right around 60%. But, you know, come Sunday when there's more of the public piles in, that will definitely spike up. But, yeah, so KC at +7 and +6, that's +5.5 right now. And Houston, we got sharp action on Houston at +11.5, +11, that's +10.5 currently.
Definitely interesting to hear that you're here getting sharp action on the Monday Night Football game. Of course, our loyal Bet the Board listeners know we'll have an in-depth breakdown of Houston-Cincinnati coming on the Week 10 Monday Night Football edition of the podcast. We won't quite have the time to get to that today. And Dave, as we know, you talked about the players maybe struggling a bit last weekend. You guys are one of the best houses in the business when it comes to generous offers, not only some of the reload components, but for all new folks looking to try and find a book with that NBA college hoops action, a lot of totals available, you name it. What are kind of things can they, our listeners, expect from Bet Online?
Yeah, well, as you said, college basketball starts tomorrow, and it's starting with a bang. I think 23 of the top 25 teams are in action tomorrow. So we're excited about that, and we're real proud of our college hoops package. You know, A, we got day in, day out, we pretty much always have the earliest odds in the industry, and you guys obviously know how much more value you get by getting your hands on the early odds. And also, we post the most totals as well, game totals. You know, a lot of people don't know that. I mean, a lot of shops just offer game totals only on televised games. So, you know, there might be 60 games on the betting board, but you can only get a game total on, you know, 15, 20 games, but we're going to have pretty much every game. So you get that, and then, of course, the reload bonuses and first-time deposit bonuses for Bet the Board listeners. We still have the first-time deposit bonus, 50% bonus for first-time depositors. That's bonus code BTB50 for that 50%, maximum $1,000 worth of bonuses. And then the reload for existing customers, just in case you need to reload this week, use BTB30 for 30%. All the terms and conditions and more information is at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard.
Dave, always a pleasure getting your take. Love the energy this week. I can tell you got a little pep in your step with that new soup can in your hand, and I'm sure our loyal listeners will appreciate actually being able to hear what you were saying instead of some of the muffled verbiage we got from
you
last week.
I mean, that's too bad because I gave out 16 winners last week. It's too bad my soup can pooped out. I got to head in the water, so I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, you may be ready for a career change. But Dave Mason, Bet Online, follow him on Twitter, at Dave Mason, B-O-L. You can hear him each and every Thursday throughout the NFL season right here on the Bet the Board podcast. Dave, thanks again, and best of luck this weekend.
Take care.
Payne, always great to get Dave's perspective on things, and as we can tell, we know the books had a good weekend. So, Dave, a little bit more energy. He mentioned that Patriots-Giants game, and we typically like to go in rotation order, but he provided the perfect segue. One of the largest totals we've seen of the season. We know the much-maligned Giants defense number here, 54.5. You see the hook starting to pop everywhere, 7.5 currently at BetOnline. How do we even begin to go about handicapping this one? The Patriots leaving the confines of home for the first time when it feels like an eternity.
Yeah. This is an interesting game. I think the professional money will eventually show up on the Giants here. One kind of interesting note, there's 15 teams in the NFL with a negative net yards per play. Only three of those teams have winning records. The Giants are one of them. We've kind of seen in the past few weeks teams that apply to that. They've been getting faded by the professional bettors. That's not going to be the case this weekend. Unfortunate loss. On offense with Deion Lewis, I think that hurts them a little bit. The Patriots kind of have this knack for just kind of plug and play, but that's a big loss, I think, because we see what they've done, and they've kind of gone to more ground and pound last game with Blunt, and I think this total will start to tick down a little bit as you see a more conservative game plan, a game plan that's more run-oriented without Deion Lewis out there this week. So I think you'll see some professional money eventually on the dog, eventually on the under in this game.
According to our friends at Oddshark, their database says it's only the third time since 1998 the Giants have been a home underdog of this magnitude over a touchdown. You look at the Patriots, 7-21-2 against the spread the last 30 games after they covered back-to-back contests. And Payne, you mentioned that the Giants, a negative net yards per play. What are the Giants at this current juncture in the season? A team that, to be honest, I've had a real difficulty trying to figure out because I can make the case they were pretty fortunate to get out of Tampa last week with a victory.
I think a lot of people aren't really sure what they are, and it's really funny how the outlook on them has changed. We talked about early in the season a couple end-game woes, missed clock management, missed end-game management, and this team could have potentially been 4-0, 5-0. And now we look at this team and say, man, they're really not very good. This defense, who kind of started with their hair on fire, is now, again, what we thought they'd be, one of the worst units in the NFL. I don't believe Prince will be back in the secondary this week. He's really trying hard to get out there, but it makes sense with the bye week coming up that you kind of just give him an extra week. So him being out definitely hurts the Giants this week. But again, I haven't invested in this game, but at some point we will see professional money on the Giants on the under in this spot. Jason Pierre-Paul got some good reps last week. He didn't seem to skip a beat, didn't record a sack, but got a ton of pressure on Winston. So that will be crucial this week when you're talking about the Giants and potentially not only upsetting New England, but covering this number.
And you talk about the Giants could really have a better record than they do, a team who clearly couldn't have a better record at this juncture in the season. The Carolina Panthers remain undefeated, and Payne, we're honest on this podcast, and I love self-deprecating humor as much as the next guy. I will say having a Panthers win total may go down under the total, maybe one of the worst bets I'll make in my entire gambling career if this thing is officially dead and buried by November 16th, the direction it's headed. Carolina, a 5.5-point favorite in this game. Total of 44. We were spot on with our analysis of the Titans last week. Is it a well we want to go back to, knowing the Titans have lost 9 straight home games, are 0-10 against the spread the last 10 after they covered the previous game, but Carolina clearly poised for a letdown in my opinion.
Typically not great for a futures bet when you go under 8.5 and it's potentially dead in week 9. I'm on that boat as well. When it comes to this game, we got the cover and the win last week with Tennessee. Would have liked potentially them not to win there. It kind of zapped some value this week. I thought we probably would have gotten a full seven. This did open as high as 6.5, crept as low early in the week to 4. And now, you know, the books made their number adjustment here, basically throwing it in no man's land at 5.5. This is going to be one of the biggest public sides of the entire weekend. Carolina already garnering about 80% of the betting action. The books will need Tennessee here. I think I'd love to take 6 with the Titans again. I think Mariota really, really helps this team out, not only from an offensive standpoint, which is obvious, but a defensive standpoint as well, allowing them not to be on the field the entire game. Parrish Cox returned last week. It looks like McCourty will be out, which is a big loss in that secondary. But this Carolina team, we've kind of just seen them play to the scoreboard. They've not been a good fourth quarter team. They go uber conservative. And so I'd like to go full game here if I was on Tennessee, take the points. And I think the back door in the worst case will be open here. But for me, Tennessee or pass for sure.
Look at that nice word choice using garnering right there. I applaud your vocabulary and how much more extensive we've become on this podcast after about a season and a half. Do have a question, though, Payne, before we get to our next game. You mentioned Tennessee getting there in the outright fashion. A lot of our bettors ask all the time how they should use money lines to kind of bolster their bankroll. You've done it probably as well as anybody when it comes to allocating whatever it is, 70-75% going towards a straight wager, maybe 20-25% for money line. But for folks that have some bankroll constraints, say if you're using a $25 unit, would you suggest playing a little bit on a money line for some of these dogs makes a lot of sense, or just stick with grabbing the points, build that bankroll up, and eventually you take the next step in your handicapping?
Yeah, I mean, bankroll is relative, right? When you're using percentages, in general, you know, percentages usually make numbers relative in this instance. So you should just be doing things correctly every time. So for me, when we're betting dogs, whether college or pro, we're looking at those dogs in that 3 to 10 range. And depending on how strong our position is, we're allocating a specific amount, a percentage of our full bet. So we're always going to go a full position on the game, and then we'll take, depending on how much we like the game, between 10 and 35% of our spread position on the money line as well, just based upon how much we really, really like the game. I think you definitely need to do it in the NFL. You definitely need to do it in college football. We're looking more so home dogs in that 3 to 10 range.
And you mentioned on last week's podcast, this is the highest rate we've seen teams covering numbers that went outright in the National Football League in quite some time. So it would definitely make sense to take full advantage. Now, maybe a potentially live dog, the Miami Dolphins, they were bludgeoned by the Bills for the second time this season. Miami on the road at Philadelphia, catching 6.5. Total in this game, 48 at BetOnline. Huge loss for the Philadelphia Eagles, a young player, but a key contributor in that linebacking core. Jordan Hicks gone for the season. Philadelphia off that emotional overtime win against Dallas. Is there some value with the road team as Miami heads north into frigid Philadelphia?
Well, I know we have one live listener that's really intrigued by this game. but this is your classic kind of contrarian game. I know you mentioned Hicks is out, but it looks like D'Amico Ryans is going to be probable for this game. Miami gets blown out 2 weeks in a row. Philadelphia wins the game in prime time. So it seems like a decent spot here for Miami. The Dolphins just kind of seem to do better on the road. Clearly not a huge home field advantage in Miami. But again, the Eagles really haven't performed well at home in recent years. And this matchup, when you break it down a little bit, there's lots of familiarity here. I think Bill Lazor knows how Chip Kelly's offense would like to attack the Dolphins, having been on his staff in 2013. You would think that's a bonus. Bill Lazor has not been very good this year as an offensive coordinator. His play calling, and I hate to do that. I hate to talk about play calling, but it's been really bad. You have a Dolphins team ranked second in the NFL, 4.9 yards per rush attempt. Yet they're dead last in the NFL in rush attempts, second to last, I should say. Only the Lions are worse in rush attempts. So at some point, the light bulb kind of has to flicker on, and this would be that week to get that ground game going. You know your defense is beat up. You know your defense is thin. And we see this Eagles team. They like to wear teams out. That tempo really starts to kick in the second half. So that would scare me with Miami. We've seen Philadelphia start slow, so if I like Miami this week, I'd look to them in the first half. Let's see where the market opens. I know 3.5 out in Vegas. If this does get to 7, there's potential for a 4 popping in the first half.
Are we finally supposed to buy into Philadelphia right now? I mean, they did get the win against Dallas. That's the most important thing. But again, still pretty unimpressive for four quarters. I mean, is Philadelphia finally going to put it all together, or are we just kind of holding out hope for something that's not going to happen this season?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they control their own destiny. I really think they have a leg up in that division. Five home games, the easiest schedule, remaining schedule of all the NFC East teams in there. You would think things are starting to come together a little bit. They're starting to run DeMarco Murray how he should be ran. They're starting to get Matthews involved a little bit more. Clearly, Chip Kelly has an ego. It looks like his GM ego is kind of outweighing his coaching ego. He needs to get Matthews going more on first down. Aguilar looks like he'll be coming back a little bit. So that should help things. The defense has really been the key cog to this team. Their defense has been outstanding. You get DeMeco Ryans back this week, so that should be great for them. But, you know, I don't know if they're what we thought they would be, but I think they can do enough to still win that division.
Well, and you mentioned EG schedules. There's no better poster child for that this season than the Minnesota Vikings, who, to their credit, were able to gut out a big win at home against St. Louis without their starting quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. Minnesota goes on the road to take on Oakland. Right now, you're looking at the Raiders, a three-point favorite, minus $1.05. Total in this one, 44 at Bet Online. Vikings, of course, winners of six of their last seven, the only loss in that stretch coming at Denver, a game they dropped by a field goal. When the Vikings head out west, they haven't exactly been great on the road. 4-15-1 straight up, the last 20 played away from the Twin Cities. Where do we go to try and handicap this intriguing afternoon game?
To me, this is one of the tougher games on the board. Minnesota is definitely, more so Teddy Bridgewater, struggled on the road in his short career. So you're going to need a decent game performance from him. It looks like he'll be out there. He's going to pass the concussion protocols this week. Line looks a little fishy. And I think, you know, laying three here looks very easy to me. So it's a game that I'm probably going to stay away from a little bit. The total would make some sense. I know Minnesota's offense has struggled a little bit. But the weather, it looks like there might be some weather out there calling for about 15-mile-per-hour cross-field winds, 85% chance of rain. And then there's also the question marks of a lot of Oakland's weapons. We know how dynamic the offense has been, but it looks like Latavius Murray is a long shot to play this week. Amari Cooper, rookie sensation, he missed practice again yesterday, so we'll have to monitor his situation. Clearly don't want to go over with Cooper out in this one, so we'll see how that materializes as the week goes on, but not a lot for me in this game.
Yeah, should be one of the more intriguing watches as both teams very much in the thick of things in their respective conferences, talking about wild card bursts. And all of a sudden, the Vikings relevant in the discussion, not only for a wild card, but maybe to take home the NFC North crown amid some Green Bay struggles. Dave mentioned this earlier, a game that was surprisingly balanced. Kansas City on the road to take on Denver. We saw these two teams go at it on a Thursday night earlier this season. Kansas City let a glorious opportunity to pull a win slip through their fingers, no pun intended, to Jamaal Charles, who sits on the IR out for the season. Denver 8-2 against the spread their last 10 games after losing as a favorite. Andy Reid, he's been outstanding his career, 17-3 straight up when playing with rest. You've seen this number open at 7, come down to 5.5. Of course, major absences on this Denver defense. Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware appear to be out. 5.5 the number at BetOnline, total 41.5.
Yeah, clearly sharp money on this side. There's really no way to really slice it. A lot of that, though, is due to Ware being out, is due to Talib being out. We've seen this Kansas City team, and I know me and you the last few years have really tried to back them in these games against Denver, and it just hasn't come to fruition. I'm not sure it does here either. I just don't really like this Kansas City team. I know they're off the bye week. Andy Reid usually has a very, very good game plan. He usually comes out strong. His issue is adjusting in-game. So maybe, again, another team that you want to look at potentially going first half rather than full game. I'm just not sure Andy Reid can make those halftime adjustments, make those in-game adjustments. For me, I think Denver is the real deal still defensively. I think they have enough on that side of the ball to give Kansas City some issues. There's just not a ton of weapons there for Kansas City. We know that. So for me, I'm passing on this game, especially at the current price.
When I think dynamic playmaker out of the backfield, Sharkhandrick West is clearly the first name that comes to mind for the Kansas City Chiefs. You mentioned lack of weaponry, some defensive deficiencies. Total at 41.5, 42, Payne. Any real wiggle room to maybe make a case for an under or overplay in this spot?
You know, it just makes kind of makes me laugh a little bit, knowing how far out ahead we were in the market on these Denver games in general. When you talk about an opening game against Baltimore at 52, so we've come a long way.
Can we go back in time and double, triple, quadruple our wager on that particular game?
It's just kind of the perfect example of being savvy and being out ahead of the market. These numbers now at 41.5, it's just so low. There's no wiggle room. You get a defensive touchdown, you get a special team score. There's just no wiggle room whatsoever when you're talking about a number this low. Potentially look first half, see where that opens. But for me, nothing on the total at this point.
Well, a game that clearly could be considered the contest of the day, a huge showdown in the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks playing host to the Arizona Cardinals. You're looking at Seattle, a three-point favorite, total in this game at 45. Arizona, not exactly a wallet winning team when you talk about their trips to the Pacific Northwest. 2-6 against the spread the last eight as road underdogs, but clearly these two teams not exactly the same additions we've seen in years past.
Yeah, Seattle definitely a little down. It'll be interesting to see if they got some of their offensive line woes figured out there in the bye week. The Cardinals, we've talked about them a lot. The math guys love them. The efficiency guys love them. My eyes don't think they're as good. I think there's some issues there defensively. I think Patrick Peterson, probably one of the most overrated cornerbacks in the entire NFL. The run defense, they're very aggressive. They definitely stop you in the backfield, but they allow huge running lanes, and they've given up some yards on the ground as well. For me, I don't have a play on this yet. We saw this open as high as, 3.5. Arizona took some money. There was one group I know that laid it with Seattle. They laid some 3 there. We're now seeing the marketplace this morning shape up with a little juice. Arizona got touched a little bit. For me, not a ton there. Total at 45.5 would make some sense. My number on this total was 43.5, so there is some value there. Weather looks like it could be in play as well. Not shocking in Seattle. But for me, again, not a ton on this game.
Now, we did have a question, and we actually had a decent amount of questions, something we haven't exactly been nearly as embracing of as we were last year. Fernando Cirello asked, do you think Arizona's really a byproduct of a soft schedule so far when you look at their overall profile and body of work?
Well, the funny part is, all the professionals were fading them because of how tough the schedule was when you looked at it coming into the year. And certainly that's changed a little bit. I don't know if they're a byproduct of that. I love Bruce Arians, and he accounts and makes up for just so many flaws. His teams are always prepared. He instills a confidence in them because he's always going to be aggressive. And that's one thing we've seen with this coach. Whether he's backed up in his own end, he's tossing the ball. Whoever his quarterback is, he's taking shots. So he instills confidence in the players, and they kind of play above their means. There's no doubt about that. But again, this Arizona team, when I look at them with my own eyes and I've seen them, I've tried to watch every single game. There's a lot of flaws here. They're not as good as what I think, their efficiency metrics indicate. It'll be interesting to see if the CJ2K thing kind of lives on. I think he'll start to wear down as the season goes on. This is a tough team for me to gauge at this point. Floyd is going to be a welcomed addition back. He seems like he's firing on all cylinders. The hand's healthy. So that's definitely an added weapon to the offense when you can kind of have those 3 wide receiver sets. John Brown operating in the slot where he's a little more comfortable with Floyd out on the outside. So, I think they're a little overrated at this point to better answer his question.
And if you loved Arizona before, you'll really love Bruce Arians and what he's done for underdog backers. Arians, 15-1 against the spread in his NFL career as a dog of less than 7 points. So clearly, he's been making folks a lot of money, thriving in that underdog role. And Fernando, I know you sent an email asking both Payne and I if we'd have extensive Grey Cup coverage as we get closer to the culminating point of this Canadian Football League season. We will have a preview the week of Thanksgiving for our friend south of the border and hopefully a special guest to offer his thoughts and sentiments. Payne, one other good question I thought came in. We talk all the time about first halves. We've become very fond of first half unders, especially on this podcast. Trill Emery asked, general thoughts on trying to middle after line moves or potentially using a second half bet. Only worthwhile around key numbers or a minimum size of the middle. I'll take it one step further. Does this have to be a philosophy you employ on each and every game, or can you kind of go back and forth going, I'm going to use it here, I'm not going to use it here, and still be successful with it?
Well, clearly we like, you know, first half unders. I think when we've talked about using them, it's more game. It's more kind of what the team has planned. It's their initial game plan. When we talk about a second half, it's more so kind of navigating to what the game situation calls for. If a team's behind, things of that nature. For me, when you start to get into these middle attempts, clearly, you know, a lot of math is involved. You're going to have to take a kind of hardline approach and say, you know, we're doing X, Y, and Z every single time. Or you kind of sit back and you kind of are the player that focuses on the actual game itself. You're watching every single game and you're kind of seeing it unfold. That's more of the game theory and trying to figure out where the game will unfold from that point forward. And so it's definitely two methods to the approach here. Then there's the final method where you don't want to ruin your edge no matter what because you've already got the game in your back pocket. So, you know, lots of schools of thought there, and it definitely varies upon the game. It varies upon what type of player you are. If you're just kind of, you know, steadfast in using your numbers, that's fine. Or if you're a guy who watches the game and has, like, great feel for in-game betting, one of the sharpest bettors in the world that we talk to all the time, he just has a savvy knack for being able to watch games and kind of project how they're going to unfold. And because of that, he's one of the best NFL second half bettors there are in the world.
And I didn't want to hit on this game, but I think Monday night illustrates everything you just outlined. The Chargers and Bears game, there were different groups going at the number pregame. You saw some folks taking four, others looking to lay 3.5 or even 3 on the bye. You watch that first half, it's 16-7, but going into the break, you knew that game had been changed considerably as far as dynamic was concerned with the injuries in San Diego secondary. Lo and behold, you sent me a text and said, man, the Bears may have actually ended up being one of the best second half bets you could make the entire NFL season.
Yeah, we talked about the circadian rhythm, which is East Coast Central teams going west for a late start and kind of how that impacts the body clock on those teams. But we kind of avoided that in the second half number. You could get 10 plus 10 adjusted at the half at some places at open. And that was one of the strongest bets that we've had. Just looking at that, Verrett going down in the secondary, Robinson going down in the secondary, Floyd going out on offense, and that was huge because you're already out with Keenan. So it was just huge. That halftime number was definitely not a very good number hung. And again, if you were watching the game and you kind of just saw Alshon Jeffrey being shut down by Verrett, and then as soon as Verrett went out, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey just had a field day. It really changed the dynamic of that game completely.
And I think it's one of those things, when we try and give folks ideas to look for when they're handicapping a lot of these NFL football games on the podcast, it is clearly a fluid and dynamic market. Injuries change the complexion of individual handicaps. So you never want to come up with a base rule. I know some folks had questions saying, oh, you guys said to potentially fade the Bears in the second half. That was assuming all things being equal there. And maybe Keenan Reynolds might have helped out that Chargers offense more so than Keenan Allen the way they bogged down in the second half. If you're not following Payne on Twitter, it's never too late to do so. Follow him there at Payne Insider. You can follow me at Todd Furman. And, of course, subscribe to this podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, or visit us at toddstake.com. By subscribing, you'll get it before we even start to circulate it on social media, and maybe you'll be able to beat us to some of these numbers. Payne, clearly Thursday nights we've had plenty of duds, games without intrigue. This week, not the case at all. Rex Ryan returns to MetLife Stadium with his Buffalo Bills sitting at 500 against the New York Jets. Total in this game sits at 42. Right now, the Jets, a 2.5-point favorite. Dave Mason mentioned earlier that he's taken some sharp money on the dog at +3 at BetOnline. Where should we even begin to start handicapping this one?
Well, it's interesting how quickly the sharp money came in on Buffalo. This opened as high as 3.5. We're now looking at 2.5. So it's a significant position, but we know how the road teams have struggled on Thursday. So to me, that kind of just magnifies how big of a position this is on Buffalo. Rex's trip back home, Antonio Cromartie, Kelvin Pryor both appear to be out. So those are huge losses in the secondary. We saw Pryor out last week, and there was just a lot of big plays allowed against the Jaguars. Nick Mangold, the center, going to try to give it a go, but with a neck injury, you really never know. He tried to give it a go last week, was forced to come out in the second quarter. Brandon Marshall, clearly going to play through the pain, not nearly 100%, dealing with toe and ankle injury. Eric Decker, still not 100% with the knee issue. And it looks like the Bills are going to get McCoy in there, Watkins, Mario Williams. Those guys look like they're all a go. And one thing here, I think the Jets offensively, they're starting to struggle running the ball a little bit, and that's going to be an issue here when you talk about Fitzpatrick. He's not a guy that you want to go out there and wing the rock around, especially with his thumb injury. So this was interesting. Chris Ivory, he's dealing with some nagging injuries as well. Just 1.1 yards per carry the last 2 weeks, 1.5 yards per carry the last 3 weeks. They need Ivory to get going in this game if they're going to have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that. I mean, clearly the Jets, an inside-out winner last weekend against the Jaguars, outgained, gashed for large stretches. And as we talked about in the Monday podcast, one of the more interesting final stat lines compared to how that game actually played out. The home team has had some success in this rivalry, 5-1 against the spread, trends that I kind of throw out, given some of the coaching changes. Bills, 8-3 to the under the last 11 times they've been listed as an underdog. When you look at the total paint, open 44.5 down to 42, are we on board with this move towards the under?
I'm not sure. you're talking about, and I know a lot of people, when we talk about totals, they're kind of viewing totals from a 1940s standpoint, where 37 is a key number. It's new age NFL. It's not. The last two or three years, you're looking at 43 and 44 being the most prevalent NFL total numbers. So when you take a shot from 44.5 down to 42, it zaps the value out of this. It really does. At 44.5, it's just a completely different ballgame than even addressing it at 42. And I know, you know, when we talk to our listeners here, the numbers are so important. You know, just because I like something or lean something, you really have to listen and focus on the price that I'm talking about. I know a lot of guys out there kind of just dive headfirst into some of these games. Payne says he likes this, Payne says he likes that, but it's got to be at specific numbers. And at 42, I just don't see a bunch on this total potentially going under.
It should be a great game on Thursday night. Clearly, these two teams looking to use this as a jumping-off point for the second half of the season. As you mentioned, Buffalo's schedule very daunting coming up. They'll have a Monday nighter against New England a week from this Monday, followed up with a road trip to Kansas City. So they'd love to try and win this one. The Jets, a very manageable schedule if they can find a way to gut out a victory here, which I'm sure they'd love to have against their former coach. Payne, another Thursday podcast in the books. Any final words of wisdom before our listeners go to the window with hopefully a 16-0 or how many ever NFL games are on this week's card?
Yeah, nothing too crazy. I kind of like the Washington Redskins a little bit. When we kind of broke down the Saints this season, the one positive was having 11 games in a dome. They're outside this week. The two previous trips outdoors this season, they've lost by a combined 25. And Washington appears to be getting really, really healthy at the right time. Terrence Knighton looks like he'll be a go. He's been dealing with some headache injuries. He would have played last week had it been a home game, but they thought the flight in the air pressure would hurt him a little bit. Culliver, it looks like he's back. D'Angelo Hall inching closer. You get DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed. They got their feet wet. They'll have a full week of getting acclimated and getting some rhythm with Kirk Cousins. A lot of guys back. Chris Thompson, third down back. And you're kind of looking at, I'm just shocked by this. Right now, the biggest public bet splits this entire week. New Orleans, 85% of the ticket count right now. So for me, it's Washington this week. I like them a lot.
No disagreement for me whatsoever on the Redskins potentially being your best chance to take a winner to the window. For Payne Insider, follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. Follow our faithful Thursday guest, Dave Mason, at Dave Mason, B-O-L. Check out some of those great promos, reload bonuses, and for new customer sign-ups, some of the best in the business. You can follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman. SoundCloud, iTunes, visit us, toddstake.com, Bet the Board Podcast. Best of luck, Week 10 NFL with your Thursday night selection, and anything you elect to play on Sunday, we'll be right back at you on Monday for an in-depth breakdown of the Texans' trip to the jungle to take on Cincinnati. Hopefully, in the meantime, we'll see you at the window.